Blog Talk Radio.
I wish you'd seen before. Hey, that would be good. Everybody's listening, Di. Why not? Because they're singing. It's all good.
I know.
Yeah. How funny
first
is that?
First in the song.
There you go. What's your fave? I don't know. What are they playing at Millsburg shows today? No, I'm just kidding. Everybody that's listening. And hi. This is Cherie, and I got my co-host on, Di, there. Di, you're here too.
The other so shrew sister.
The other shrew sister. Yeah, we're just laughing about, you know, Di has been such a wonderful person to show me about manifesting, right? And I'm going to be really frank this tonight with you guys. Our show's about commitment, connection, and communication, the three C's that are really, really important in any relationship, especially a loved one. Not especially a loved one. Just any relationship. So that will explain a lot, you know, right there. But my friend here, and I'm going to interject, she's got a great relationship. But guys, I wanted you to know something. Di started out really, really questioning this relationship at times. And she, last year at this time, you guys had just been moved in for maybe a few months, right? And you wanted something to happen. Mm-hmm. And she wanted something to happen. And it just wasn't happening, and her guy was giving her a little bit of grief, John was. And, you know, this happens in relationships. But what was the secret to you getting what you wanted in a relationship? Is it the communication? Is it the connection? Is it all of those things? Tell us what it is, because you've got this great relationship. She's out there stacking firewood with her man, and now they're going to watch the Broncos. So you're a great one to start with. Okay.
You know, I think the biggest thing, I think, is the communication, trying to get the emotion out of it, you know, but trying not to play the blame game. So, you know, addressing both of your feelings without trying to make the other person feel bad about it. I mean, that's the hardest thing. Because it's like if you're looking at them and you're saying, I'm upset, I'm hurt, and you're the cause of it, to try to sound, you know, like you're not pointing the finger at him. And I think that's why I've struggled with John, you know, it's like because of the situation that we were dealing with, it really was more his shit than mine, honestly, you know. And I mean, he would agree with that. You know, it was a very strange situation that I came into not knowing, you know, that there was still this relationship with his ex-wife. I mean, I'll be honest, you know. And it was very hard for me to, you know, get past that, even though I'm understanding she's, you know, she's has a disease, she's sick, but
hold on a second. The relationship that he had with his ex-wife was not one of being intimate with her. It was one of taking care of her because she was sick and
right.
Okay, so because you were like, what?
She's not, we're understanding that she was not an invalid, you know, where
he
would take her out to lunch, and it looked very date-like, and also that she did not know that he had a girlfriend, and she still thought of him as her husband. And so it was a very awkward situation of me being asked to feel sorry for her and feel compassion while she didn't know I existed. She still thought of this man as her husband. And so it was just a very, very unusual, very difficult situation for everybody, you know, because she, you know, was mentally incapacitated a little bit, and she did not really understand. It was kind of hard to sink into her brain why they were not really still man and wife. And you know, and I understood that, but I finally got to the point where it was like, okay, she's either going to understand that she's not your wife and you're going to have one life with everyone included instead of double life, or I'm not going to be around. And because, I mean, honestly, last holiday, he had to spend half of Christmas with her and not with me, you know. And so, you know, I think every woman and man, when you have a partner, you assume, you know, that if you're really curious about each other, that's just kind of a no-brainer. You know, you're not going to be making time for exes on the holidays unless you see your ex with your current partner. And so it was very, very difficult. Yeah, we've gone around some pretty tough roads and that are unusual. But yeah, finally getting to a point where it feels like things are normal and out in the open. But it was it was communication. And it was trying to not assign blame and just, you know, being very open about this is what I can live with, this is what I can't, you know, I understand if you can't give me that, we need to go our separate ways. I mean, there was never any, you know, like, oh, you are so bad and you're so mean to me. You know what I mean? And I think that's
sure.
That's really the key with everything. It's fair fighting. It's not being fighting in a nasty way and blaming the other person for your unhappiness. You know, basically it's just saying, I'm unhappy with the situation. I will take myself out of it because I don't see a way where it's going to change because he seems very unwilling to change it, you know. So, there was a lot, you know, he had to stretch pretty far. I know he had to do a lot of stuff that he felt uncomfortable doing. And, you know, I had to deal with a lot of stuff that I felt uncomfortable with. But, you know, you feel like, okay, the relationship is worth it. You know, there was a great connection. I felt real love there and real consideration for my feelings. And so then you feel like, okay, it's worth putting in the extra effort. But
yeah,
it was
a lot of stuff there. But I want to share with you guys, okay, she is like talking about it like the dog would stew about stuff, right? I was like, she's mad as hell. And you got to slow it down, okay? Because I know most men, because they're linear logical thinkers, they don't think like us. So when you communicate with them, I have a thought about this. When we're angry, we sling a whole bunch of stuff out. If we talk in small sentences, like, I am mad because, not you're a big dope and you didn't take the garbage out last week and you didn't pay any attention to me this week and then you did this, this, and this. And then we say, well, I'm really mad because of this. So what I realized that it's really helped me when in communicating, especially when I'm talking to a guy about his girlfriend or his wife, is that talk in small sentences, not that they're dumb or far from it. It's just that because the way they think, and we as women, we go all over the map because we're not messy with our thinking either. It's just that we're holding so much in that we can go all over the place. So if you talk in small sentences, being super direct with them like you were, because you know how to do that, and that's a start right there, you know. So, and then you decided, I'm going to take all, and you made it a point about making sure that the commitment was intact and the only way that would change unless he wouldn't do certain things, correct? Am I writing?
Right.
Okay. So carry on, because I was like, I want to be clear about that too as well. So you communicated what you wanted, but you didn't go all over the map with it. You just small, clear sentences, okay? And then you also were very direct and didn't bring up the past. You just stuck with what was going on right now, correct? You know what I mean?
Right.
Right, your past.
And you do. You have to break it down into kindergartner steps almost sometimes. It's like, okay, it's not okay with me if you hold her hand. You know, that was to the point I was at. It's like, stuff like that. That's not okay with me if you still call her sweetheart when you call me sweetheart. I mean, it was just so ridiculous, a base level that I felt like we were getting to. But, you know, men are different than women. And while we see this whole big picture, I just felt like I wasn't making myself clear, you know, of how I felt like he was still married. I felt like I was dating a married man, and I couldn't deal with that feeling myself, and so I was just saying, you know, goodbye. And so I had to be very specific about stuff, you know. But
yeah.
This is not okay. This is not okay. There's one little thing. And I know to him, I'm sure it felt like I was being very petty, by listing all these things out, but I honestly didn't know how else to do it, because by me globalizing things and saying I just feel insecure, that wasn't cutting it. That wasn't getting through to him why, you know, why do I not feel secure with this relationship? So I had to get very specific on stuff. And I know, you know, to him it was like, well, you don't, you know, there's no reason why you should be jealous. This woman's in a nursing home. It's just like, I feel sorry for her. I'm compassionate. And I, you know, need to take her out. But to me, I'm saying, okay, I saw you walking down the street holding hands, and she was walking under her own steam just fine. So, no, that's not what it seems like to me. It doesn't look like she's an invalid. It looks like you're a man and wife, you know. So with stuff like that, we had to be there. I had to be very specific. And I know he thought I was just being petty, but if he thought that, he never said that. I mean, he didn't. he was always very kind to me. He was very nice to me, and he was, you know, eager to try to find a common ground
solution
where I could be happy with. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think we finally have.
You guys have a common ground.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm going to share this with you. We get, I apologize for interrupting you, but the we were talking about, you know, connection and communication. So, you know, you felt this amazing connection with John. I felt an amazing connection. Diet, by the way, is much better at communicating than I am when she gets angry, because I just, like, shut down and just, like, I'm done. So I'm learning from you.
You're done.
but you, the connection you felt was there from day one. How do you know there's a connection? I mean, you know, somebody asked me that and just texted, how do you know when there's a connection? When you want to rip their clothes off, that's one connection. When you want to know more about this story. Yeah, I think that's the best connection. I want to rip the clothes off and have sex with them, but I'm not, right? You know, that'd be good,
right?
Right.
There has to be physical chemistry. There has to be. You know, if you don't feel physically attracted to them, then, you know, just say that they're a friend, but don't pursue it as a love interest. You know, that's something that you can't develop over time. If you're not attracted to them physically right away, it's not going to happen.
I know. I've tried that. You and I both know that, right? That it's, we've both tried that. You know, so Pheasant Man and Saran Wrap Man. Remember? Okay, just Dinah nicknames for our guys.
I know.
Past lovers or whatever you want to call it. So, you got to, the connection is there. Can it be something more? You know, I'm she's a little different than I am, but I think that you really need to establish a friendship first. I do, where you don't touch each other or anything like that, because I have a friend right now, you touch each other, you can kiss. He's, you know, he's in a relationship and he's kissing, but he's not touching and they're not going to bed. He goes, we need to establish a friendship first. I went through a really hard relationship. And I am going to inclined to agree that with that. And there's some people think it needs to be 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. I think the typical situation is 3 days. So what's your thoughts on that?
You know, I guess I don't even know what typical is, because with me, I have to say it's been different. It's been different with different men. You know, there have been men who I slept with, I did on the first date, and I stayed with them, and I was madly in love with them. And you know, it just felt right. And then there's men that I definitely waited a while because it didn't feel right. And I don't think necessarily the alcohol was the whole cause of that, but it could have played a part.
Getting drunk before you go to bed with someone. Yeah, there you go. That's funny,
you
guys.
Know, but, you know, I don't know. You know, I mean, I know. was it smart to sleep with the one on the first date? But I don't ever regret it. You know, with one it felt right, and with some it didn't. And I think a lot of it depends on, you know, it depends on both of you. If one of you feels like, you know, that's improper, then you're going to pick up on those vibes, you know. I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's a bad thing when you really do feel that connection. But women have to understand that, you know what, the man, he may just be using you for sex. You know, maybe not using, I mean, if it really feels like a great connection, it probably is. But to the man, it may be a great connection for that night. He is not thinking down the road. And so as long as you're aware of the fact that this may be a one-night stand, then I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't. Maybe you both do.
That's
like
right.
That.
Yeah, be clear about that, too, as well, too.
Right.
Yeah, you be clear about it. For me, I, the connection is there, I'm going to try to hold off. And have I done, not held off? Yeah, I did. But I was friends with him, really casual friends with him, and we were together for a couple of years. And then, you know, something happened, and of course we're not. But he really, you know, he really put it out there. You know, we went to bed the first night. I can't believe I'm telling this because my dad's not listening. So, but we were engaged. Anyway, 6 months later, he gave me an engagement ring. And you follow your intuition on that, but be clear about where he is or where she is, whoever's listening. Because women, sometimes we got all this thinking going on. We don't think like linear, so we're feeling everything. And he's thinking, I want to be, she's thinking, oh, he likes me because he's kissing me. Or he's liking me because he's asking me to stay over. and he may be asking you tonight and somebody else tomorrow night, and that's okay if you know yeah. it, if both of you know it, and be really clear about that,
right.
you know, too, as well.
Yeah.
So, and so you can make your decision based on that. You know, recently, I had a friend of mine that she was on doing online dating, and you and I did a lot of interviews with that, too, as well. And so the guy, she got this dude, and he... and she felt a strong connection to him, and he says, listen, I don't want anything serious. What is that? When the guy says, I don't want anything serious, it means I want I was going to say fuck buddy, right? Should I say that on the air? I don't care. Anyway, forced sex, you know. And so she says, read my profile. So he comes back, he says, I still want, and you know, she'd had all these great conversations with him. And he goes, yeah, you understand I don't want anything serious. She goes, let me tell you something. I don't want to go out with you. I feel this connection, but you didn't read my profile, which is a great way to communicate and get to know me better. And so, and you're not looking for commitment, and that's what I'm looking for. And if you just read my profile, you would know where I'm coming from. But the dude did not have enough.
Great.
Yeah, he didn't have enough, you know, to do that. But you made a point. If you know where you're going and you're okay with sleeping with somebody you're not hearing from again, then that's cool. If you're not, then you better show your cards on the table. And we did a show about this a couple weeks ago. If a guy does not call you or text you the next day or when you get home at night, he's probably not that into you. Okay, so there's a movie.
Right.
Yeah, and there's a movie about that too. He's not just not that into you. I can't remember, but it's
just not that into you. That's what it's called.
Uh-huh. Okay, it's very true, right? You know what I mean?
I love that movie.
Yeah.
It's a
that's
book.
Funny.
It's based on a book. And the book was awesome, you know. I mean, the movie was great. It had some great actors in it, but it's so true. I mean, that the one girl, and I can't remember the character's name, but she was like the epitome of the what you hate about girls who are so needy and clingy. I mean, she did a great job. You know, it's like the guy took her out once, so he must be in love with her, you know. And she she just chased him, and then this other guy, of course, kind of has to tell her, you know, he's just not into you. You can't act like this. And so he was basically giving her dating lessons.
It was true.
Women have a tendency of, it's like, oh, my God, he slept with me. He must be in love with me. And I was joking about that with one of my friends. I mean, she's quite a bit younger than I am, and she's married with several kids. And she's very unhappily married. But she said, you know, she had never dated a lot when she was younger. And basically, the first guy that I love, you know, that slept with her, that must mean that he's in love with her. And that was what she felt. Like, oh, he really wants me. He must be in love. And she ended up, you know, rushing into this relationship with him. And now she realizes she made a huge mistake. But so sadly, so many women are like that. It's like, oh, if he wants to sleep with me, he must really care about me. Well, that's just not how men are wired. Maybe he does.
They're not.
There's a good chance.
Yeah.
He doesn't. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the men are more, they're like a, it's biology. They're really thinking with the, you know, we're thinking with our heart
the
and our head. Yeah, the small head. And that's so true. You know, and to be quite frank with you, my mom used to tell me, and this is so cool, she goes, you can get him into bed that easy, you're not going to want it. Right? So I thought it was like a child disease. I can get him into bed, I don't want him to the second time. You know what I mean? You and I have had numerous conversations about, oh, that I don't want him to call me again, right? You know, so.
Right.
I say numerous conversations is not necessarily about going to bed with somebody, but, you know, figuring out that I don't want to date him after one date, right? You know, or you don't want to date him after one date. But because we're not so caught up, our women can't get to the point where they're not so caught up in that, does he like me? Does he want to be with me? And then you start asking yourself, do I like him? Do I want to be with him? Can I see myself with him 365 tomorrows from now? You know what I mean? Or or whatever. They have the connection. Communication needs to start from day one, you know. I don't do so very well when I get angry. You've got it a lot better than I do because I recently got mad at somebody that I really care about. And I read the letter wrong, okay? He wrote me. So I blew off the handle. Like I said, I read it. I was like, oh, he missed this. So sorry. So, you know, communication, I didn't really tell him it was wrong. I was just hurt inside, you know, and I wrote this really nasty letter that I didn't get through. But You know, long story short, you got to really think about your words and choose them. Never communication, I think, starts with really holding your own emotions in check. You know what I mean? And that's something I'm learning the hard way. You learn it, we learn it, and it's a journey. And so the best thing I'm going to say about that is that don't explode on him or don't explode on her. I have a friend of mine that's doing that right now, and she's getting hurt, he's getting hurt, and nothing's getting solved. You know what I mean? And the kids are the, you know, and are the fatalities in this situation. You know, just like your friend, her mm-hmm. kids are probably getting a lot of stuff like that. So how do you prevent that? Well, I think that when you communicate, you have that connection, and that connection, as good as it is, it's going to fall, too, as well, because when there's an up, there's always a down, and when there's a down, there's always an up. And then, so when the communication is great, when everything's just love, and, oh, he's so amazing, or she's so amazing, right? But what? How do you communicate when you're not feeling so amazing, or you don't think he is so amazing? That's the challenge. You and John do it very well. I know that he's lost his cool a couple times with you, and you've lost yours, but you guys keep it on track. And what do you do? Do you wait to talk to him until my grandpa used to say, simmer down before you talk to him. Or do you just choose your words carefully, or do you write it out? What do you do?
That's a good question. He would prefer, he's one that needs to time, like the cooling off time. You know, he'll say, like, we'll talk about it tomorrow or whatever. Whereas I'm one that wants to talk about it right now. And so that's very difficult. You know, it's very difficult for me to wait. It's very difficult for him to feel like I'm pushing him into resolving it. But I don't like things floating out with the promise of we'll resolve it tomorrow. It's like, I'm not going to sleep all night, so let's just resolve it now. You're not going to sleep either. And, so I think he gives in to me if it's, an issue that I am upset about. He'll go ahead and talk about it with me. But I think we both have finally, realized that the relationship is important to both of us. And so you have to kind of bite your tongue sometimes then, because you have to resist the urge of just throwing in the towel or totally going off on the other person. You have to remember that this relationship is something that you want to hold on to. And so you don't want to make them pissed off. You know, I know I made him angry and he's made me angry. But, instead of letting loose with everything that you may be thinking because you're upset or you're hurt or whatever. Just trying to remember this person is somebody I don't want to hurt. You know, I don't want to make them
right.
so angry. And sometimes you're just having to bite your tongue a lot. But without losing the communication, you know, you're still biting off some of the crap that you want to say. And it is crap, because if you're feeling hurt, you're always wanting to unload it and you're wanting to, you know, make them feel a little bit bad. And so that's hard to do, to try to not make them feel bad if you feel like they've done something that really hurt you. It's really hard for you not to blame them and want to kind of unload that a little bit, because
right.
you'll face things that you can't take back, you know.
That's so true.
And we all do. Mm-hmm. So you can't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The thing.
Yeah, you big fat troll, get out of my drawers. I remember that when I was there. I said that.
You've been tactful. Did you say that to someone?
I did. Okay, girl. Well, as sweet as I am now.
That is too funny. You've been tactful. Get out of my drawer. I like that.
Yeah. He wasn't fat, but, you know,
that's,
it's like, oh,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, commitment, because we're at the last one here, communication, wait a couple days if you need to, I think, before so you can calm down, or a couple hours. I have a three-day rule, a three-hour
mm-hmm.
rule, a three-minute rule, because, buddy, I can sling some stuff there, and so can you. I know all of us can if we get loose control, but once you take those words back, you're just terrible, because you can't take them back, you know, or you're saying you can't take them back.
Right.
And then the other thing, commitment, I have a client, and her guy, he said, he got down on the knee and proposed to her, and he says, I'm not ready to do that right now. We'll think about it. I really just, you know, so he kind of, he waffled on the proposal, right? She's wearing this big ring. And then he's sitting there laying in bed. He goes, oh, I think, did I do the right thing? They've been living together for 6 or 7 months when he got mad at her. Are we going to break up? Or I'm not sure we can stay together. So never, ever threaten the commitment. And you said that. You don't do that unless, you know, you mean it. Because when you take it
right.
on and off the table like that, that really hurts someone. Or you take the relationship, I can't be with you. Well, yeah, I can, you know, back and forth because you don't feel good. There are days I get up and I feel 100 years old because I'm tired, but I, you know, I'm not 100 years old. There are days I feel 20 and I'm not 20. I'm a lot closer to 20 than I am to 100. But do you understand it? Your feelings, you cannot take that from someone, and because you're feeling a certain way. You treat that commitment and honor it. I mean, you honor it with everything you have inside, and your word is your bond. And that's something that I think we really need to remember whenever we're communicating, whenever we have that connection, and whenever we have that bond. Because that connection is going to fizzle sometimes, but I promise you, if you just stick with it, it will come back. You know, it really will. Mm-hmm. And it changes over time. I think you and John are a lot different today. You're getting firewood, where before last year at this time, or a year and a half ago, you were going out on dates and wining and dining each other. Not that you don't do that now,
right.
It's a little different, you know, too, as
oh,
well,
definitely.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
you
so what do you do to
someone,
keep it?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, you live with someone and went.
Yeah, when you have the daily task to do. You know, when you're living in the same house, then you can't just, you know, spend all day trying to look cute. You both have chores to do from the same house, you know, and so you start, I guess it becomes less of a, like, oh, I've got to print for our date out. Not that you still don't want to do that, but, you know, you're looking around going, well, we need to do this. and so it's not like it's not any less fun. It's just instead of being concerned with what your appearance is going to be like, the joy comes from doing something together for the home that you share together.
Oh,
so
nice.
So
okay.
Different. You know, yeah, it's different. It's a domestication.
There you go.
You know, it's a different. It's a different kind of joy. Yeah.
Yes, different kind of joy. I hear you. Now, let me share this with you. This is funny, okay? Because we're gonna get off the air so you can go watch the game, and it's getting close to. Anyways, I have a friend of mine. He's been my friend since we were 14, and I'm gonna use his name. But he says whenever he sees a woman's face, and he calls it the sex face, and it's not really pretty, he breaks up with her. Okay.
He said what after he sees it?
He says every woman has a sex face.
So does every man.
Yeah. He says, but he's got it down. Like, this is important to him, right? You know, for me, it's like socks, okay? My socks have to be as where I don't wear them. Anyway, so here's the sex face. He says, every woman has a sex face. He goes, I don't care how strong the connection is, the communication is, I will always see that sex face. So I'll never forget, I saw his girlfriend, and they hadn't had sex yet, right? And I said, do yourself a favor. She goes, what do I need to do? Keep the light off for the next 30 days anytime you have sex. And don't let him see your face. And she goes, and I told her the story. She goes, well, he won't like it? I go, I don't know. But you don't want to put that to the test until you guys really are in a strong relationship.
Are you that
well,
dry?
Long story short, they got married and have lived happily ever after. So, but I thought I'd share that with you, the sex face. So there's weird things, you know, that men and women have, okay, you know, can really affect the relationship. So. When I'm having sex with my mate, I'm going to be seeing what his sex face looks like.
I know. I remember our mutual friend, Samantha, she cracked me up one night. She goes, get a mirror and lay it on the floor and look over it. That's what they see when we're on top. And she goes, I was feeling all sexy in my Victoria's Secret lingerie, only to discover he's making love to a Sharpay.
That's funny. Oh, God.
It's the truth.
That's good. He's making love to a Sharpay. Oh,
you got the reason hanging down, you know, but you don't because you are younger, but I'm in my 50s. Sam's, you know, she's not as old as I am, but she's in her mid-40s. And, you know, gravity does, I mean, our skin changes over time, and we don't have the elastic. We don't, you know, we're not a gym.
I never thought about that.
You look over and you're like, oh, my God, it's horrified. Talking about a sex face that you don't want to see is your own.
There you go. Oh, that's funny. Okay, so that's good. I got to remember that one, too, as well. So sex face.
Terrible.
It's frightening. It's like Halloween. Like, oh my God, that's what my guy sees. I don't want that.
Di, you have made me laugh hard tonight. That's good, okay? Man, oh, that's funny. So, you guys, communication is good. So, see if he has a thing or she has a thing about sex faces, okay?
Yeah.
Before you sleep with him or her, put your mural on the ground and look.
Look down at it.
Look at yourself. That's what he sees when you're on top, or she sees when you're in, or whatever. That's
terrible.
Funny.
Terrible.
Anyway.
<It's> scary.
There's a lot of angels to help you, too, so you can call on. You get a book. We talk about, you know, commitment and connection and you know, and all those things, especially in the soulmate part of our book. We explain why there is such a connection, the karmic and the... the karmic, the companion, and the twin flame or twin soul. I guess if you're a karmic, if you're a companion or twin flame, it won't really matter what you look like, right? You can look like Charlotte
or Barbie.
Hopefully
they're like the same. Yeah, hopefully they're just the same. You both have bad sex.
Yeah. Are you a Sharpay or are you a Barbie? That's good. We should talk about that.
Know.
Anyway. I like Samantha more now. That's funny. Anyway, so you get our book. There, you can get it at Angel Coaches, or you can get it at DianeBucci.com, or you can go on Amazon and get it. You mean there's a lot that says he's attracted to me. We have a lot of mantras and prayers in there. We've got a lot of angels you can work with, and we've got, like, the soulmates that you can really distinguish which one are you to him and him to you or her to you,
mm-hmm.
whatever. And it gives you a lot of clarity. And if you have clarity, you can make better decisions. And that's really what it comes down to. Anyway, you guys have a great now. Our next show is going to be next Sunday at 8:30. And then, of course, Angel Coaches has another show on Tuesday night about manifesting and making things happen. And I'm super excited about that one. And then we have Vince Tomonte, who will be a Transformation Thursday speaker. He is amazing. He's won so many contests, has been on TV. He's done everything. So I'm going to send a little info about him and put it on Facebook. If you guys want to check it out, Transformation Thursday, a great show. All right, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday night. If we don't see you before Tuesday or Thursday, you guys have a great now. Di, you were funny. You made my night. Okay, so we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.